Okay, let's take, we have a series of items here under our next time certain. I think we're going to take item 705 first. Dan, do you want to read these together or just take 705 first
we'll
and then the rest?
These together, but let's do 705 separately.
Okay, let's take 705 first, please.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to establish the Joint Office for Homeless Services.
Well, this is a very important day, and I appreciate the good work that's been done between the city and the county. We have presentations from leaders of both, and I'll start with my colleague, Commissioner Salton.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to be here today, joined by Multnomah County Chair Deborah Cafori, to present this intergovernmental agreement for your consideration for the creation of the Joint Office for Homeless Services. I think in the past 3 years, I've observed the city and the county have had unprecedented levels of collaboration to address crises of involving families and individuals experiencing homelessness. And it's time to take this collaboration to the next level by forming the Joint Office for Homeless Services. In the past, the city and the county have each provided services targeted towards different populations. The city focused primarily on single adults, while the county focused on families, youth, and survivors of domestic violence. That division simply makes no sense any longer. A joint combined system will be more efficient, more nimble, and most importantly of all, be easier to navigate for those in desperate need of our assistance and services. In working towards completing this agreement, the chair and I have shared four basic principles. First and foremost, create a new joint office that would be situated to serve its clients, the men, women, and children who need safe, stable, and affordable housing. Secondly, we had a get-or-done approach. The idea of one single system is not a new one. It's been proposed over the last several decades. We wanted to make sure that we got this one done and that the artificial barriers and silos didn't get in the way of a system innovation that we truly believe will make a difference in the lives of those we serve. Thirdly, we wanted to create a structure that allowed our two teams of great policy staff to be able to work more effectively together. And finally, we wanted to make sure that this joint office also had joint oversight, strengthened alignment between our bureaus and departments, respected each entity's authority and budget processes, and I believe we've achieved those goals in this agreement that's before you now today. So now I'd like to introduce Chair Cafori. She'll be followed by Mark Jolin, who is the director of the new joint office, and he'll review the goals for the office. Marisa Madrigal, the chief operating officer from Multnomah County, we'll give an overview of the intergovernmental agreement, and then Kurt Krieger, director of the Portland Housing Bureau, will speak about the specific provisions of the intergovernmental agreement that strengthen and deepen our relationship with the county. So we'll start with Chair Cafori. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm Deborah Cafori. I'm the chairwoman of Multnomah County, and I think Commissioner Salzman's done a wonderful job of outlining what brought us here. I just wanted to highlight a couple points. One is that this is not a new idea, and it has been around for about 30 years, but it hasn't been until this moment when we have, as you said, an unprecedented level of cooperation between the city and the county that we've been able to get this done. And I think that is in large thanks to our mayor, who has made this a top priority for his term here. I want to thank you very much. This would not have happened without your leadership. And Commissioner Salzman, you and your staff, both your personal staff and your staff in the Housing Bureau, working very closely with our staff to hammer out the details that I will let these other folks go into. But I just am really here to say thank you. Thank all of you. The Multnomah County Commission will be voting tomorrow, and I know that we will be having a similar conversation, but we will be having, hopefully, a similar outcome as well. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mayor and Commissioners, my name is Mark Jolin. I'm the Initiative Director for Home for Everyone. And with the creation of this office, I'll have the honor of serving as the Interim Director. I want to start by thanking all of the city and county staff who put countless hours into creating the vision and the framework and the IGA for this joint office. This was a significant amount of work on top of what is already a high-pressure time for anyone who is working on housing and social safety net issues in our community. The IGA you are voting on today implements a vision of deepened city-county collaboration to address homelessness that has existed for years, but started to become even stronger with the creation of A Home for Everyone 2 years ago. It represents an important opportunity to deliver on the commitment we have made to people experiencing homelessness that we will do everything we can to support their efforts to get off the streets and back into permanent housing. Just as we know that how our providers deliver services is as important to achieving successful outcomes as the resources that they have available, how we organize the work that we do at the governmental level profoundly affects our ability to achieve the best possible outcomes for people experiencing homelessness. The Joint Office will change how we organize our work in ways that will have significant positive impacts on the effectiveness of our efforts to address homelessness. The Joint Office will bring together on one team the city and county staff with the greatest expertise and the deepest commitment to ending homelessness. That team will be guided by the same vision and values that guide the larger Home for Everyone initiative. We will come to work every day committed to creating a community where homelessness is rare, brief, and one time, because everyone has access to a safe, affordable, and accessible housing unit. The Joint Office will use the existing and unprecedented increased city and county investments in homeless services to build a system of care that helps thousands of people each year escape homelessness. Specifically, once fully implemented, the system will help more than 4,300 people a year move off the streets and out of shelters and back into permanent housing. It will help at least 5,600 people a year avoid homelessness altogether through improved prevention and diversion strategies. And we will be able to offer at least 650 additional safety off the streets options, shelter options every night to people who have not yet been able to find permanent housing. This office will focus resources on those who are most vulnerable and prioritize the elimination of the significant overrepresentation of communities of color in the population of people experiencing homelessness. We will continue to strengthen the community-led planning work that occurs within A Home for Everyone. More specifically, we'll be expanding the role of people with lived experience of homelessness, the faith, philanthropic, and business communities in helping us realize the creation of a community where everyone has access to safe, affordable, and accessible housing. We will work to create the most efficient and equitable contracting process for our community-based organizations that deliver homeless services, and ensure that collectively and individually, we are accountable to the community for the outcomes that we commit to achieving and are continuously engaged in evaluating and improving the quality of services that we deliver. We will strengthen the ongoing collaboration with the other critical government agencies that touch the lives of people who are or are likely to experience homelessness. We will work closely with the Portland Housing Bureau and Home Forward to address the need for deeply affordable and permanent supportive housing. We will work daily with the Department of County Human Services to make sure that individuals and families are moving seamlessly between homeless and anti-poverty, aging, disability, and veteran services. We will work closely with the Portland Police Bureau, the Park Rangers, the Sheriff's Office, the Department of Community Justice, and other criminal justice partners to address the needs of homeless people who they are coming into contact with. And there will be a close working relationship between the Joint Office and the county's mental health and addiction services, looking for opportunities to better align critical health and housing resources. And finally, this office will strengthen our partnerships at the state and federal levels. We want to sustain the tremendous success that we've had with the effort to end veterans' homelessness, and we will use the Joint Office to pursue opportunities to collaborate on similar upcoming federal initiatives to end family, youth, and chronic homelessness. The success of the Joint Office will depend on staying true to the collaborative nature of the office itself, the fact that this is an ongoing shared effort of the City of Portland and Multnomah County. It will also depend on realizing the opportunity for expanded collaboration that it offers at every level with people experiencing homelessness, non-governmental community partners, and the other local, state, and federal government partners we have. Getting to this point has not been easy, but I couldn't be more excited that we've arrived here. The Joint Office of Homeless Services will not by itself solve the crisis of homelessness that we are experiencing in our community, but it gives us the best opportunity to maximize the collective impact of our efforts and to take the resources available and help as many people as possible successfully escape homelessness.
Thank you. Marisa?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Marisa Madrigal. I'm the county's chief operating officer, and I'm just going to give you a brief summary of the highlights of the intergovernmental agreement we're asking you to approve today. The IGA has an initial five-year term. It transfers existing city contracts for homeless services to the Joint Office for Administration. It transfers city employees to the Joint Office and Multnomah County Employment. And we've done our best to keep employees as whole as possible, knowing that change can be difficult. But we believe that we've created a great landing space for them and look forward to having them on the county team. The IGA establishes baseline funding in the amount of $15 million for both the city and the county. If either the city or county funding drops below the baseline in any fiscal year, such a drop would trigger the ability of the other party to initiate a discussion about dissolution. But in practice, we really expect that that provision would simply bring both parties to the table to discuss how we're going to jointly manage what likely is if on either side, if there's a budget cuts on the city side, there would likely be budget cuts on the county side and something that we would need to manage together in the spirit of the agreement, in the spirit of collaboration. The baseline is the floor amount of funding, but either party can voluntarily choose to exceed that baseline through their respective budgets. And for example, this year the total funding for the Joint Office is $47 million, well above the combined city-county baseline, which is an achievement in itself. It's an incredible testament to the commitment of both the City Council and the County Commission through the budget process and dedicating unprecedented resources toward this issue. The baseline itself was determined by estimating the amount required to maintain the existing services plus the amount required to expand shelter and meet the safety off the street goals of a home for everyone. The IGA can be amended by a vote of the City Council and County Commission, so it's really a living document. We've taken our best shot at it. But we expect that we will adjust in the future as we learn more about how best we work together. So with that, I will turn it over to Kurt.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Hales, members of Council, Kurt Krieger, Portland Housing Bureau. The creation of the Joint Office of Homeless Services is the contemporary local government equivalent to the Kennedy Moon Mission. We have a clear and compelling vision. And that clear and compelling vision is to decrease by half the unmet housing need amongst people experiencing homelessness throughout Multnomah County. To do so, we have to mobilize and align our resources. And in effect, we are braiding federal, state, and local resources together. As Marisa Madrigal mentioned, a total budget of $47.3 million. that involves a deep commitment on part of both parties. The baseline funding commitment of $15 million is $3.5 million higher than our current ongoing funding. So it's important that you know that Section 1.1 means that in the next budget cycle, the $3.5 million will either have to be the first new money in to cover that ongoing issue or prioritized with respect to cuts within local government budgets. We think that's attainable. We started from very different points on the baseline itself. We arrived at this in a true collaborative manner to create what we think will be a synergistic outcome. With respect to mission control, I want to talk a little bit about how this moon mission is going to be guided. First, the Cherkafori's office will be instrumental to our success. And we're grateful that she is taking ownership of it and not delegating it to a department where it would be submerged within county government, because the real synergy is for public health, alcohol and substance abuse services, domestic violence, and mental health to be working in synergy with the Joint Office, and that can best happen at the chair's office. It's also important to mention that Section 7 creates a policy and budget advisory committee, alignment committee, the PBAC, is a carefully crafted group of five to help guide the ongoing targeting of budget resources and policy resources to gain our mutual success. The City Council appropriations will run through the Housing Bureau to the Joint Office, so I'll be accountable to you for those outcomes. And of the staff that are being migrated, one is being retained. Jennifer Chang will be essentially our liaison to ensure that the policy outcomes and budget outcomes are achieved. The PHB mission going forward will be somewhat narrower, but more impactful. We'll be able to focus on housing production, preservation, tenant services, eviction prevention, and we'll be able to align our resources, capital and operating resources, to focus on our mission, which will include permanent supportive housing. We will also maintain an ongoing commitment for the homeless management information system because it's braided within our larger policy and program development construct. So that staff remains at the Housing Bureau. And I would say that one good example of how this will work is today Commissioner Salzman is announcing that the Housing Bureau has come to an agreement to purchase the Joyce Hotel. The Joyce, as you may know, is the last remaining weekly stay SRO in the city of Portland. We'll continue to mobilize capital resources to undertake housing preservation and development. The 20 remaining residents within the Joyce will be resettled and relocated through Central City Concern on a contract that is migrating from the Housing Bureau to the Joint Office. So this shows the sort of unitary cohesion and alignment of mission to have the greatest impact possible. The other thing I'd like to mention here is to recognize the number of staff that made this possible. There were many, and I will only mention a few, but Shannon Callahan and Commissioner Salzman's unflagging commitment to make this work was deeply invested, and frankly, for the last 6 months, we've worked on this every day. We have worked through the details in an unrelenting manner. The city attorneys, especially Lisa Gramp and Darylee Berthold, helped not only structure the business relationship, but to handle the human resource alignment, because we have different pay systems, we have different benefit systems, and the staff needed to be honored and respected in this process. And the other thing I'd like to recognize is the homeless assistance and resource team itself within the Housing Bureau. This was something that they fully subscribed to at the outset, but like change, sometimes when it really comes upon you, that means you'll be working in a different location for a different boss in a different system. It raises lots of apprehensions, and I want to applaud them for continuing to do the good work that they do each and every day while also recognizing that they are stepping into a new role, stepping over the threshold for a brighter future. So with that, I'd be happy to respond to any questions you might have.
Questions?
I have several. Thank you. First, thank you all for your work. I know this has been a huge undertaking, and you got it done, and I appreciate that. I do have some questions and concerns, particularly about the $15 million baseline, and not only that, but a guaranteed 2% increase every year. If the rest of this, we don't have any of the bureaus that have a guaranteed 2% increase as a floor, and if the city is cutting the rest of having to cut our budget and this not being cut at all, that's going to have huge impacts on police, fire, parks, transportation. So I'm wondering why that choice was made. I mean, we, as was mentioned, and I appreciate that, this agreement puts the city $3.5 million in the hole before we even start next year's budget. So was that discussed, and why did you get to that we have to have particularly the floor?
Well, I'll speak for the city. I think, you know, my first week on the job last August was to read all historic documents related to the management of homeless services in the city and in the county, including the Clegg report, which recommended this alignment of resources. I know Judy Clegg pretty well since we both worked for King County. And I think from the negotiation that was undertaken, it was that the county did not want the city to divest responsibility. They wanted to share responsibility on a going forward basis. And they felt that in order to recognize that this was a realignment of resources for them, that they wanted to be held harmless from any divestiture. and the COLA is the guide. I'm especially sensitive to it since this money routes through the Housing Bureau. I think the first source to balance the budget won't fall to police and fire. It'll actually fall to housing. So I'm especially sensitive to that issue because we have a mission that we need to serve as well.
But, so that $3 million you're anticipating would come out of housing next year?
No, I think it's going to come out of the general fund. But I think since it's routed through the Housing Bureau, just what little I know about how the CBO works here is that they'll be looking at us first for that alignment of resources to make sure that that's mitigating the other line agencies within city
okay,
government.
As long as that's understood, that's helpful.
Can I add just real quick to that? I think that it is important to think in terms of dollars and cents, because that's obviously what we're talking about here today, but to take a step back and think about our shared commitment. And in my opinion, and to the many people out there in the community who I speak to on a daily basis, ending homelessness, getting people off the streets and into housing is the number one priority of the citizens we serve. I'm not saying that they don't want police and fire. I know that they want that as well, but I think that people want us to do our best to help get people off the streets, and that's going to take it's going to take a lot of work. This is merely the beginning, and as has been said, the $15 million is less than the city of Portland is contributing this year. And it was my feeling and our feeling as we went through this process that we didn't want to start next year doing much, much less than we're doing this year. We have a goal. We put an unprecedented amount of funding this year, and we're going to have to do it again next year. That's the reality. If we want to make a dent in this issue, if we really want to get people off the streets and into housing, we're going to have to put more money in next year than we put in this year. So that's why this is the floor, because this is the absolute bare minimum. I mean, I'm going to be talking about, you know, the $47 million we jointly put in this year and adding to that next year to be able to address the audacious goals we've set forward.
Thank you. And as we all know, the community wants more services than we're currently able to pay for. Right. So I think this should start prompting right now a discussion of where can we get more revenue, which coincidentally we're going to do this afternoon. On page 14, about carryovers, it says any unspent city total funding amount may be retained by the county, but that the county's carryover goes back to this county's general fund. How is that fair?
There is a reconciliation process, a quarterly reconciliation process. I think the amount of carryover is discretionary. It will have to be disclosed and delineated, but it's not an automatic carryover.
But it's not for the county. For the county, no. It says it will be returned to the county's general fund.
So I don't know if our numbers...
11.11 and 11.12.
So the intent of the agreement was to rather than cut a check back to the city, allow there to be a reconciliation where at some point in the year, in the following year, the county or the city could reduce its payment to the county to adjust for the underspending in the previous year. So, in effect, we would not be keeping the underspending or the carryover.
But it says it may be.
We may request, just as we could request on the county side to carry over funds, but it's not necessary. We don't have to,
If that request was made, then our budget office would make a recommendation.
Well, presumably we'd have to do this in the bump because it's being reported by August 12th.
Correct.
So I'd just like that to be the legislative intent that any carryover is credited to next year's budget rather than just being retained, because that doesn't seem like that's equitable.
And these dates were designed to coincide exactly with the fall bump process.
Well, happily, I'll be here next year, so hopefully, unless something dreadful happens. So I'll be able to watch for that. Thank you. What about Right to Dream 2? I don't see any mention of it anywhere.
The costs are funded, so in terms of...
No, Dignity Village is mentioned, but it has zero appropriation next to it. But Right to Dream is not mentioned. Certainly the facility will continue to be managed by the Office of Management and Finance per the agreement that whoever owns it is going to continue to manage it. But there's going to be some ongoing operating funds that Right to Dream 2 will have to have, because they're going to not only do what they do now, but they'll have services like laundries and showers and such, which other houseless people who are wants to get a shower will be able to come, and so their water bill will be much higher than it is now. So it would seem reasonable that Right to Dream 2's operating expenses should be funded by the joint office.
I think the question is whether those funds were budgeted in the city's budget, because this agreement reflects the budget.
They're not.
We were intending to,
and said so when we had the hearing on moving Right to Dream 2, that we would come back with an ask in the bump once we figure out how much their operating expenses are going to be. But it doesn't seem reasonable. We don't expect Right to Dream 2 to be done with its services after 5 years any more than this agreement does. So it would seem reasonable that the joint office would pay for those operating expenses. And I'd just like to get some assurance of that, because we are going to be coming back to council with the Good Neighbor Agreement for Right to Dream 2 and the funding mechanism, and it would need to be worked out.
So it isn't a conversation we've had specifically around Right to Dream. The reason Dignity Village shows up is because there's an existing contract with them, and we don't have a services contract with Right to Dream right now, either on the city side or on the county side. So I think coming to a discussion about if there are going to be operating costs for Right to Dream, and we need to create some kind of a service agreement with them, a contract for services, then the joint office would definitely be in that discussion. We haven't had it yet in terms of the relationship between OMF and this joint office with respect specifically to Right to Dream, but I'm happy to commit to that conversation and figure out a solution to the problem you're identifying.
Yeah, I'd like to get that figured out soon.
Yeah,
and then
related to that, Commissioner Fritz, Bryant Enge with Facilities and I have talked about some of the various and sundry activities of Facilities that are uncovered in this agreement. And we've talked about a interagency agreement between the two bureaus, which would then migrate these services in due time to the joint office. I think actually Right to Dream is only one of the issues. There are some other side issues that are also in OMF that are not in this larger agreement. And I think while I think there was a thought within OMF of having a companion IGA, that was deemed to be unhelpful and not timely for this agreement, so it was set aside. So we have to work out that flow of funds between the two bureaus first before it goes to joint office.
Okay, I just want to make sure that is seen as a service for houseless people and therefore likely to be funded, or if you could promise for it to be funded, that would be great. What about the single points of contact that the mayor's office currently has for people reporting concerns about people living outside or people needing services? How is that going to be handled?
So at this point, that is, again, that hasn't been sort of in the category of things that Kurt just mentioned, in terms of recognizing that there are a variety of services that are being performed that touch homelessness. Maybe they stay where they are currently located. Maybe they come over to the joint office. It's on that list of things to talk about. There is the single point of contact in terms of being a place where people can call and raise concerns about camping activities and impact. The city will continue to do the property maintenance side and the public safety side of this work. The joint office will be on the services side. Where the point of contact fits in on that continuum, again, is something we just have to continue to talk about.
Yeah, let me address that, too. I think I'm glad you raised that point. This is a legitimate follow-on issue for the Home for Everyone Consortium and for this structure to take on, which is that there are positions now in OMF, the single point of contact, and in my office that aren't necessarily baked into the city's operating budget and that we'll have to figure out. And so I'm glad you raised it. It is on the table as one of those issues that has to be addressed through this structure for the fiscal year. For the next fiscal year, we're covered, but the people aren't necessarily all going to be here.
Right.
So the position in OMF is, but two positions in my office are not. So those are fair questions. We have 6 months in which to figure out good answers to them, and I'm confident that this structure will give us the ability to do that.
I also think it's important to remember that this is a joint office, and so the city is not giving up responsibility. You're still going to be this is a joint effort, truly. We have a joint governance structure. So I would assume that the mayor's office is still going to receive the thousands of phone calls that you receive on any type on these issues, just as we will. And that's why the communication has been good to date and will continue to be good as we move forward.
And then my final question is the Black Parent Initiative, $100,000. What does that currently pay for, and why is that in there? I didn't know that the Black Parent Initiative was providing houseless services.
Well, I think Javier or Sally Erickson might be able to speak to it particularly, but I think they are a subcontractor as a culturally specific provider of services. We've done a lot in the last 12 months to realign our resources to have a greater impact on the African-American population, since we saw the greatest increase amongst African-Americans in the last 3 years. So they are a vendor that have been selected for that provision of that service.
And Mayor, you've been leading the Black Parent Initiative for the city.
Not the Black Parent Initiative.
I know, but you've been the lead person to the Black Parent Initiative, and indeed I remember appropriating $100,000 in your budget. Does that raise any concerns for you?
Yeah, no, again, I think some of the work that we're doing, we've said this all along under the state of emergency, we've done quite a bit of experimentation. And one of the successful experiments, in my opinion, has been using community organizations under these kinds of contractual arrangements, rather modest amount of money compared to the overall size of the work, to do culturally specific outreach to houseless people. It's not perfect, still needs work, but as an approach, I think it's fundamentally sound, and that we're getting good value from those organizations. Do we have everybody involved that need to be? No. Is every provider operating at the level that we need them to be? Maybe not yet, but as a model, I think it's valid.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments?
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I want to offer an apology. Dan Saltzman gave me a bad head cold, and I can't hear I'm all congested, so bear with me. Let me begin by saying congratulations. And I felt when Kurt said that he read Judy Clegg's report in August, I felt like a stroll down memory lane, because I think I was given a copy of her report in 2008 or 2009, and she really had a very bold vision. And I remember at the time, Steve Rudman was the only one who bought into the entire vision, because everyone understood how hard it was going to be to move the ball. This is the second major component of her vision that the city and the county have tackled. One was unifying everything under one roof on our side of the river, and now it's this joint office, which finally gets at that resolution A, resolution B question that editorial boards love, but most people are confused about. So congratulations for getting to this moment. Kurt, I had one. Dan identified four values propositions, four filters that he used on this. I had an additional one, which we talked about in April when we were hosted by the chair on the other side of the river, and that was making sure that a high-performing team that is currently at the Housing Bureau had a soft landing in this new place. And I say that because Sally and Ryan and Jennifer and everybody involved in the Ending Homelessness team on our side of the river, in my mind, has always been one of the bright lights of our work on this side of the river. And plus, they're not just focused on ending homelessness. They've provided a values proposition for all of our work. So every time we took something up, they were there reminding us that homelessness had to be at the forefront of what we were doing. So for me, it's really important today that they have given the green light to this exercise. And that would not be, I think, the case had not all this work gone into the details and to this soft landing. So I want to personally thank you for going the extra mile, because we feel very, at the city, we're very proud of their work historically, and we're very optimistic about how this new partnership is going to strengthen their hand. But it was very important to us that this worked for them. So I appreciate that. To our distinguished chair, I have a question. The April joint session that we had that you hosted, where we got an update on this process and we all sat together and had a hearing, reminded me that I wish we did that more often. There's something very powerful when we're all sitting together and getting the same presentation. May I propose a friendly amendment that we have at least an annual joint session where the Home for Everyone, and including the performance and update on the joint session, the joint office for homelessness is addressed, and we do it at a time that's enough upstream so that we can anticipate budget issues ahead of our formal budget process, and that as part of the protocol, we rotate having it on either side of the river every other year.
Great
idea.
So
we would start one place. Can I accept, would you and Dan accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yes, I think that
would work out
like
when you want to do it. But I think it would be enormously valuable. And I thought that session was particularly helpful in getting issues on the table. To Mark Jolin, I appreciate that on the questions of that are not addressed in this agreement about what happens to the services that OMF is providing and are being handled out of the mayor's office. We have an additional complication, which was we have a mayor-elect who's going to have a voice on this. So my understanding is that the mayor-elect, the mayor, and the Home for Everyone team will work these issues through over the next 6 months.
That's right.
My strong preference is that if we're going to create a joint office and we're going to set audacious goals for the joint office, I would like to see as much consolidation under the joint office. That may ultimately cause us to reevaluate some things that are currently being done or move things around. That's for the leadership to decide. But my preference is, in order to give you the strongest hand, Deborah, going forward, is that we consolidate as much as possible.
I appreciate that suggestion. I haven't talked to the mayor-elect about this, but I suspect that this is true, that neither I nor the mayor-elect, I imagine, think that the functions that are now being performed in the mayor's office by the mayor's staff should remain there.
Yeah.
We've done that because they needed to be done and people stepped up. But that now that we have this model, that makes less sense than it did before.
Well, and I think the mayor's also did a little technology fix. So all those complaints that are now coming to the mayor's office will, in fact, be forwarded to Deborah's office. So appreciate
what a colleague that
will
that
bring
would
some
be.
Greater accountability. I want to just close with a comment about the $15 million commitment. As I understand it, we're making an aspirational commitment. We cannot bind future councils. You cannot bind future councils. Every council gets to decide its own budget. But we're setting an aspirational goal, and the hook is that if we don't reach that goal, it allows either party to reevaluate the relationship. In other words, if we're not willing to commit the adequate resources, either party can say this is probably not going to work. And I think that's actually the adult way to do it. You can't force us to do it, but you're saying that it's unlikely it will work. For me, and you're stuck with me at least for another 2.5 years, I view the $15 million as a floor. It is under the mayor's leadership and Dan's leadership on our side of the river, it has reached number one on our priority list. It is the number one issue that we've committed to this year. And we have to get the job done. So I appreciate that you have set a floor. And you've been very honest with us that that's the minimum resources you're going to need to do the job, because we should not ask you to do this job unless we're making that commitment. And I would just note, because there's a precedent for this, in 2012, this council, without an identified source of resources, converted all the one-time money for homelessness to ongoing. In fact, it was one of the presents that was handed to Mayor Hales when he came into office. He had a budget deficit that was caused in part by the library district, in part by converting economic development money at PDC from one-time to ongoing. But a big chunk of it was taking all the serial one-time money that Andrew Scott used to admonish us about, that serial one-time budget, and we converted it to ongoing, and we did not know whether we had the resources to do it. But the council said, we're going to do this, and in the next budget, we're going to make the choices to honor that commitment. So we have done that in the past, and I think in this instance, because this, I believe, is our most urgent priority, I'm comfortable setting the floor. My guess is that the floor will be inadequate to do the job, and we'll have to be looking at additional resources, but that uniquely is for the budget process. And I think that joint hearing will help tee that up for both bodies ahead of our budget cycle. So congratulations to all of you.
Other questions for or comments to this panel?
I have a question for Director Krieger. It's my understanding that one of the fundamental elements of any moon mission is that if there's a problem, you call Houston. So I want to know, do we have an IGA with somebody in Houston? So they're available.
Well, I do.
I do rather like the Apollo 13 movie of Tom Hanks, where everything did go wrong, but he still landed safely. So, yeah, this is in government, this is about transformational change. And I've done homeless services and housing development for over 35 years. Not often do you see one branch of government giving up authority, giving up budget authority. So the Housing Bureau will be represented, the Housing Director and the Commissioner in Charge of Housing will both be represented in the PBAC. The PBAC is really that sort of governing body that is necessary to hew to mission and ensure that we achieve success.
Thank you. And my comment is, as some people know, Commissioner Fritz and I are the designated fiscal scolds of the council. And I, too, am concerned about the fact that we are making an ongoing commitment that's $3.5 million more than the ongoing money we're spending this year. And I recognize that it's a commitment. It's not like a contractual commitment that we're bound to as if in a union contract, but we are establishing an expectation. And obviously, I hope that we will have more one-time money next year, even if we don't have a bunch more ongoing money. And I appreciate the fact that one-time money could be used to help meet the commitment. But, and also I recognize that this is an emergency ordinance and we need to conclude this agreement quickly in order to have it, you know, effective in the next fiscal year. But I would like us as a council to make a commitment to come back to do a work session possibly in early September to at least bring forward ideas as to how we would get the revenue to meet this ongoing commitment if we don't get lucky in the next budget. So I want to ask my colleagues, are you open to that possibility?
Yeah, I think the session that Commissioner Fish suggested, it would be wise for us to do that at least once a year and maybe do the first one in the fall before we get into our budget process. So,
Specific, I think Commissioner Novick is saying this council start thinking about revenue sources in September and not
Absolutely.
Wait until the budget.
Or this afternoon, or both. Yes.
Yeah,
both.
I mean, I don't think that we're going to this afternoon convert the marijuana tip tax to housing, but I'd like us
to apply that.
I mean, I promise I will come forward with at least one idea in September if we can get something on the schedule.
I know we can count on that. Other questions?
No.
You have to wait. You'll give you a chance, Barry, but not now.
You will.
We'll give you a chance, but not now. We got a panel here.
Well, I think Commissioner Novick's suggestion, you know, fits well with Commissioner Fish's friendly amendment to have a joint session at the right time, and the September sounds like the right time.
That would be a further be it resolved.
I don't know if we have to do that by a change of language.
I think we've got the legislative history here.
We can start our good communication now with this partnership.
Yeah, I think basically just a letter from the chair acknowledging that it is communicated, obviously, to the Board of County Commissioners would more than suffice.
Okay, good plan.
I'll do that.
So I don't have a question, but I guess I just want to make a couple of comments to this panel. One, you know, as Kurt pointed out, this is the detail-infested work of governmental reform, a thankless job if there ever was one, and therefore it's time for me to, I've cited it before, but to recite my favorite 500-year-old quote about government. Which Niccolo Machiavelli wrote in 1512, in which he said, there's nothing more difficult to plan, more doubtful of success, or more dangerous to manage than the creation of a new system, because the innovator has all the enmity of those who are invested in the old order and only lukewarm approval from all that will benefit from the new. I wish there were new ideas under the sun, but he got it right in 1512. It's still hard. It still awaits results that aren't here yet for people to say, well, that was a good idea, but it is a good idea. And then I guess the other thing I want to stress, and it applies to all these four people, but Chair Kefouri most of all, that this is not some bloodless exercise of bureaucratic reform. This is a work of passionate belief. And that's why we made those budget commitments together. That's why we've kept them. That's why I've seen this woman at the shelters more times than any other chair has ever been at a shelter. And why we're making the progress that we're making. So this applies to the rest of this team, too. Mark Jolin may be a quiet guy, but I know how much passion there is for him in housing, and same with Marisa and same with Kurt. So the folks that have been leading this work in both the city and the county are putting a lot of heart into this, as well as a lot of money and a lot of line items of detail. And I think all that is really important to note, that I appreciate the commitment to this, not just that we've done something logical and good here, but that we're doing it because people care so much. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Do you have any other invited testimony?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thank you. And let's move, please, to public testimony.
We have three people signed up: Mary Eng, artist Laura Vanderlyn, and Joe Walsh.
Okay, come on up.
And then Barry, you can be after that.
Yes, Barry, you can speak after that.
Could I allow him to get his word in now?
Sure, that's fine.
And then I'll just refrain.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Come on up, Barry.
Yes. Barry, thank you very much.
Just sit down and give us your name, Barry, and tell us what's on your mind.
Barry Sutton. I'm homeless also, and there are two blocks that have remained vacant for years in back of the old Washington High School, and they'd make an excellent encampment for most probably all of the people that are camping on the sidewalk. And I have never been given a reason precisely why not use those. Please answer me.
Okay, we will get you that answer.
No, you can say something right now.
They're designated as a park.
But there are homeless people, and that's an emergency. And it's possible to, Commissioner Salzman, you said something, you would take care of this, zone it for emergency zoning.
I think the fact that it's a park is the issue, Barry.
Well, no, there are homeless people, though.
You know that,
Mayor Hales. But they take priority, I would say. I'm sure.
They do.
And this would cost less than $1 million. It was cost of maybe $40,000, $40,000, $50,000. That was the first Dignity Village, but they were told to move because the Department of Transportation owned the land. This would be very inexpensive. Okay.
Thank you.
Can you discuss that for a moment?
Well, I think Commissioner Fritz just did, that this is parkland. We're trying to site these facilities on other land than parkland.
No, it isn't yet. It can be, the use of it can be changed for an encampment. Commissioner Salzman, you could do that.
Okay. We appreciate the suggestion, Barry. Thank you.
I hope it's more than a suggestion. Please.
Very much.
Thank you for the time.
He still has a minute.
Keep talking.
Well, I don't know that there's much else that I could say.
You don't have to talk for the 3 minutes if you don't want to.
I know I don't, but I understand that this is very possible. There are people all over the sidewalk that could move into an encampment there, and there's nothing standing in the way except something that I'm not aware of. Please do something about this. Homelessness doesn't need to be commodified, as the people are charging you so much money for this. You said something in the first Willamette Weekly article. You wanted to do something with a lot of things that would cost less. But this would work, and no one has told me why not. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, Ms. Eng, thank you for yielding time, and now yours. Mm-hmm.
Hello, City Council. My name is Mary Rose Lenore Eng. I am speaking on this measure. I believe it's 705 here. It's to authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to establish the Joint Office for Homeless Services. The ordinance introduced by Commissioner Salzman, which interestingly enough, you can actually convert that amazing emergency blanket into a superhero cape. It really looks fabulous. We pulled that off at the last co-op. I threw it on Keith's back. He was ranting and speaking his truth. And it just added kind of a majestic cloak-like experience to what was a very spiritual concept regarding our COAB. So the COAB is a police brutality euphemism. So there are some terms I want to bring into this discussion that I have trouble with. I was a philosophy major at one time, so we would discuss language and words. And I keep hearing them over and over again. It was psychic driving propaganda. I'm hearing social cleansing, and this really unfortunate term, poverty pimps. And what you got to, I don't like this language. It's not sophisticated. It's gritty. But when you hear that, you've got to hear the pain that's in that. I don't know, that well-spoken gentleman back there, well, there were a few of them, you too, but the other one, I don't know what's his salary, 35 years and we're not through this homeless epidemic. I'm 38. So this is, to me, it seems like we're keeping the poverty going because of the poverty industry. And the whole notion of social cleansing, when you bring up your favorite philosopher, what was his name, Niccolo Machiavelli?
I wouldn't say he's my favorite philosopher. But
you are aware he's proto-fascist, and when you quote him
a lot,
we could have a very interesting philosophy lecture that would go on for hours and hours discussing that. But it comes as a slap in the face to the community that has seen your draconian regime of Stalinist arrests of activists, arrests of homeless activists, as an attempt to gag our participation in the process. So you guys probably never wanted to be a camp leader of a sort of a camp vibe. And as a consumer of poverty services, I can say sometimes they are not working well and that I'm frustrated by the socialism of the Northwest. We don't seem to have a vibrant capitalism that's actually doing anything. We need people in the Oregon State Legislature making brilliant laws like California has to provide relocation services and rent control. And the police have said they need any help they can get to have a police astrologer sort out their personnel problems. So I will volunteer and I can consult experts.
Thank you. Who'd like to be next?
Good morning. My name is artist Laura Vanderlyn. And I just want to make comments on budgets and about putting these departments together. One thing I heard from at the very beginning is accolades and thanking a number of staff members, and there were, and I'll quote, there were many. That concerns me, that we have to thank them and give them accolades when this is just the beginning. We thank people that work with a paycheck. We don't need to come and go on and take time from the citizens and hear the many, many thanks and we're wonderful and it's offensive. You get paid. You committed to this job. That's your job, period. You're thanked by your paycheck. And and the other thing that I'm concerned about is the word constantly heard over and over and over is collaborate, collaborate, collaborate. It's a collaboration. And I just want to understand, and I want everybody to understand what collaboration means. It means it's something produced or conducted by two or more parties working together. It is a kind of concern in Portland because when you have people collaborating together, nobody watches what the other one is doing, and you all just kind of depend on somebody else to put procedures in place and put protocols in place. And when you have too many people working together, nothing gets done. So I like the word that Ms. Kafoura used, and I think you should implement that word and take away collaboration and use the word shared commitment. And remember, what you do is a commitment to the people that are paying you. With public funds, with federal funds, public money, and you're working for people that, and this is for people that are poor and displaced. So before you thank yourself, remember you're getting money, you have a home, you're getting food, and people, and you're getting money from criminalizing people also. So those people that you're sweeping away. And you're giving yourself accolades for that. You're making those sweeps, and now you're creating this for us to be thanking ourselves because we're helping the homeless is shameful. We need to be ashamed of ourselves that we're even speaking about people that are homeless, not thanking ourselves for something that hasn't even happened yet. let's see. I just want to be careful with budgets. Can I please have a little bit more time? Thank you. I'm going to just make that fast. I'm concerned about budgets. I just want to ensure that this shared commitment will ensure that the resources go where they need to go. COAB, I just want to make that really clear, has money allocated for childcare, and they have not used that for childcare. I want money to go where it needs to go. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. These are exciting times. When we heard that the county was going to be the lead on this, we got really excited about it because we trust the county. We don't trust you. We think you screwed up for 12 years. You had a 10-year plan. You did nothing except buy things. And that's what we worry about now. You have $15 million that you're going to donate and $15 million coming from the county. And then there's some extra money, so it could go to $40 or $50 million. That sounds like a lot of money unless you start buying stuff like buildings and trucks and people making $100,000 salaries. It infuriates us when we hear that. The man that you had sitting here makes $250,000 a year. That's what I was told. Could be wrong. Could be not as bad as I think. But if it's over $100,000, he is making the money on the backs of the poverty people. You lose 50 people a year on your streets. And in 10 years of failure on your part, that's 500 people that died alone on the street, and you pat yourselves on the back. Who do you think you are? Don't pat yourselves on the back. Those people died alone. You see this picture? I wear this to every city council meeting. And every county, and you've never asked me who this person is because you walked over him. His name is AC. You walked over him. So don't you sit there and tell us how goddamn wonderful you are because you're not. You're shit, all five of you.
Next, please.
And that's from AC, who died out there.
That's all who signed up.
So, come on up. Pat yourselves on the back, you jackasses. And you, take your goddamn 30 pieces of paper.
Okay, Mr. Walsh, you need to sit down. Go ahead, Lightning.
No, it's not okay. It's an outrage.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. IGA, joint, bringing together. This is supposed to be happening many years before. I think due to the Chair Kafoury being the new chair at Multnomah County, I think it'll happen in a more aggressive manner. Again, I didn't hear anything about any FTEs being reduced because normally when you do consolidate, you also have room to reduce full-time employees. I did not hear any numbers and projections on the savings on that issue alone. My understanding that a lot of people will be moving from the city of Portland over to Multnomah County on a permanent basis, that's fine. A couple of issues I have is that I'm beginning to see Commissioner Saltzman aggressively buy properties from the Oak Leaf Mobile Home Park proposed to the Joyce Hotel proposed. Again, as we all know, when you start buying these type of properties, it will begin to deplete your resources very fast. Again, what has happened in the past, we've seen that they can't seem to maintain the current properties they're purchasing in a reasonable manner. We need to watch this very close because are you adding, and Commissioner Saltzman, so, and I might say, as far as a developer, you know more than probably anybody sitting up there right now. You know how to develop properties, but I'm not hearing you talk about developing more properties. I want more inventory added. If you think rent control is just buying current properties out there and paying a little bit higher and then just holding the rents at their current level, is really that